Blog Talk Radio.
This is a day that the Lord has made. I and you should rejoice and be glad in it. For he is God, but none other. He is God. He is God all by himself, and he doesn't need anybody else. Let me tell you something. Here is a powerful word of knowledge. God is able, and he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we are able to ask and even think. But if he's able, that means he's capable. He has the power because he is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent at every place at every given time. When we let go, I don't know who I'm talking to in radio listening land. When we let go and we trust God, he will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we should trust. His truth will be our shield and our buckler. That means his truth will provide the evidence that is so needful and so necessary to validate his presence. And there was ever a time that this validation needed to take place in this here and now generation. This time is right at this microcosmic second. That's why we're looking at the very whims of society. Isn't this society just lost? I mean, looking for a space and there's no place. Seeking to find comfort and worldly things, and those worldly things are failing them. Attempting to overcome and supersede the obstacles of life by using enchantment and negative forces. That's not the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He is the permission. He is the authenticator. Oh, yes, for us to have access to God the Father. And we must go to God the Father in the name of Jesus, not in our righteousness. Remember, our righteousness, all of our righteousness, is as a filthy rag. That's right. And when we acknowledge that our righteousness is no good and that only the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ gives us the direct authentication to God the Father, we must be accessible, definitely, in communication through and with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so many people, this is why there's such a great falling away of the truth. People are going through every venue thinking they can buy their way into the kingdom of God, buy their way into the spiritual gifts, buy their way into miracles. You can't buy your way with nothing. Your natural exchange does not buy you a miracle. Stop allowing these false teachers and these false prophets to lie to you. That you give them money and they'll pray a blessing. No, the blessing has already come. For unto us a son was born, a child was given, and the government is upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Who is that name? Jesus Christ. That's all the accessibility we need to receive the miracles and the divine breakthroughs of heaven. It's time for us to go back to the faith, that foundation piece in which the true invisible church was built upon, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord to the glory of God. Peter knew it. And because Peter knew it, Jesus said unto him, Blessed art thou, O Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, upon the revelation which you spake, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he even said to Peter, Behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's mine. I know some of you are saying you're a tickler Tory, you're a language arts instructor. Yes, loosen gives it more affluence as we speak. We know it means loose. That means released, summoned, granted. So whatever you grant according to heaven, I mean, if granted upon the earth, whatsoever you constrict or restrict in heaven through the name of Jesus is restricted upon the earth. Can't only bulldozer move it. Nothing can penetrate through the name of Jesus except the righteousness of God, the eternal powers of God. And when we know who Jesus is, we identify with who the Father is and that he is creator of the universe, creator of the earth and all of the things that are in it. The scripture tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. On this glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, February 26, 2023, you tune into the manner of speaking, where we go into the word of God and allow the power of his logos and of his rhema to instruct us, lead us, guide us, anoint us, appoint us, and elevate us in this present day society. Because it's time for the believers to be elevated. Been at that, this level too long. And you know, when you're at something too long, it begins to chip away at you. Because you've withstood in that area too long, you become stagnant and non-productive. It's time for the productivity. The productivity. Just as the sprawling cedars of Lebanon expand and expound, it's time for us to expand and expound. That's right. God has higher heights and deeper depths for all of us who believe, who trust him, who love him, who denounce this programmed society, who denounces this cosmopolitan religious movement, who denounces these types of behaviors because they're not relevant to truth. They're not relevant to the miracle-producing power of God. There's become a great power failure. You know where that power failure comes from? It comes from not plugging into the right circuitry. That's right. The disruption of the services because what? The power surge has been blocked or hindered or else deleted. And it produces nothing. Nothing is going to happen. It's time for us to resurface and to get plugged in into the true power source, the name of Jesus Christ, that authority. We're not talking about vain religiosity that takes the flesh and glorifies the flesh and says, look who I am, look what I can do. No, we translate from the external to the internal. The internal is what is eternal. And we look to God as the author and the finisher of our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what we do. And that way, the surge is continual. It's not interrupted. It's not disrupted because it's plugged into the energy source. And this is what we're going to have to do. We have to denounce these things. It's either going to be God's way or the highway. Now, there is a way. The scripture tells us that seemeth right to a man. And in that way, there are the ways of death. Then the scripture tells us, broad is the way. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. But many are following therein. Many are following the vain religiosity path. Many are following the man-made servitude path. Many are ascribing, that's right, ascribing to the cosmopolitan, cosmetic, pretentious performance platform. They're ascribing to that. They're getting into the paganism because the road is so broad. There's no restrictions there. People don't want to be restricted. They want the freedom of movement. to do as they please and still dance and then shout and do all of that. Let me tell you something. The dancing and the shouting means very little. It's the fruit that is the evidence of who you are, what you believe, and how well your commitment and your relationship with God is. You can go to a concert in the world, a secular setting, and there's nothing wrong with going to concerts. And I'm going to answer a question that was inboxed to me, and I'm going to address it, but I'm not going to address it right now. You can hear the singing and the dancing and the shouting of the names of the performers from the audience. You can go there and get that. But there's something so special and so sweet about having a relationship, a true mono-e-mono intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There's a tie that can't be broken. The Holy Spirit speaks and ministers to us and tells us things that are past, things that are present, and even the things that come, because we have that intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And this is my goal for this year. I'm not doing resolutions, no. I'm just going to evolve into being a more respectful, more dedicated believer and actually allow the manifestations of God's presence to come into my life so I can touch the lives of others. What I was doing, let me do it in a much greater level, Lord. When I was administering to the needs of others, help me to administer to the needs better. And I want to do that throughout not only this year, the next year, the following year, and the next decade after that, the next decade after that. I just want to evolve into being more as God would have me to be, not like somebody else. Amen? All right. Truth be told. Now, here it is. That word of knowledge was special for someone, and I pray that it takes root and manifesto in your life, or perhaps share that word of knowledge with someone you know of, someone you love, or someone you come in contact with. Because sometimes a word, just a word, is not always a song. It's not always a sermon. Amen? And, you know, as much as I am a prayer, well, sometimes it's not even just a prayer. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge that can change the course of someone else's life. And realize it's not all about you. What makes you look good, what makes you feel good, what makes you ascend to the highest level of your existence? No. When we touch the lives of others, God touches our lives as well. When we touch the hearts of others, God touches our hearts as well. When we minister to the needs of others, God administers to our needs. Amen. So let's get to moving about and get about the Father's business and stop playing games and sitting on the sideline being idle and doing all of these things, because you end up getting into the wrong arena, the wrong setting, where you're not going to glorify God, and you're not going to reap the benefits of your servitude. That's right. He told us to go into the vineyard and work. He said, whatever's right, I'll pay you. Sometimes God's payment, we always say money. Well, God knows that money answers all things on this earth. He'll make sure that every debt that you have to pay out is paid in full, and you have surplus left over. Not for you just to live and to be high-minded and haughty about it. It's to be humble and to just feel privileged by God and to help and to bless others. And that's the more that God puts back into us. Remember, the scripture told us, give, and it shall be given to you again in good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God will cause the very person to oppress you be the person to come bless you. Amen. I like that. The person that tries to oppress you will be the one coming to bless you. God can do everything and anything. So it's time for us to release ourselves so that the powers of God's supernatural presence, this omnipotent all-power and presence, can come more greatly into our lives. I'm ready, y'all. I don't know about you. Honey, I'm telling you something. The more that God gives me, I'm going to have to give out to help others. And that's what God allows us to become wealthy for. He allows us to become rich. Becoming rich means you've accumulated the wealth. And, you know, he gives us these things, provisions, so that we can bless his children, bless his people, feed hungry mouths, keep the utilities on in the houses of others, help to pay their sustenance in their place of residency where they don't have to be uprooted and moved out, because that is a hurting thing to see people be put on the street. I would never in my lifetime, this is a vow I made to God. If I can prevent a person from going through that, and they've done all the measurable means, Lord, I will. I will. And see, when you want much given, much is required. So you know something? As I speak the talk, and I'm true about it, I have to walk the walk and do what I think I'm going to do. And oftentimes, God will test us. He'll give us that surplus amount of finances to see what we're going to do with it. And when we glorify him, God will glorify us. And always, we think it's just money. Honey, I'd rather be blessed and highly favored and have enough to pay all of my financial responsibilities and have money left over and have a decent bank account and live to be 111 years old and be in my excellent health than to have multi-billions of dollars and not trust God, not love God, and get on a bad trip of substance abuse, and then my life turn to chaos, and then you become poor. See, being impoverished is not always talking about what people don't have materialistically. Some people have a lot of materialistic provisions, but inwardly they're impoverished. They have a poor mindset. They're living in fear. They're living in anxiety. They're living in the past, the painful memories of the past. They're living in unforgiveness. And it weighs them down and it takes them down physically. That's not the will of God. He said that he would that we prosper. Remember the witness of John? He said, beloved, I would that ye prosper in all things. Hallelujah. And be in health, even as thy soul doth prosper. And Jesus came for us to have life of that more abundantly. That's when we start living good, feeling good, having good, prospering. There is not a sin, please, another thing, oppressing the people of God by telling them lies. It is not God's will that we're impoverished. We're not glorifying him financially when we're like that because we're limited. He wants us to expand the kingdom. How do we expand the kingdom? We got to feed the hungry. We got to clothe the naked. We have to provide housing for those who don't have and help those who need assistance with their housing. How be it that I have the love of God within me and have the financial support that is needful and necessary, and I tell my brethren coming to me, I'm going to go pray for you. No, I need to open up what I have and give to them. This is how God is glorified. And you know something? So many people say, oh, and the blessing come back. Sometimes that blessing is 5 extra years of life on this earth. Amen? Amen? Sometimes that blessing is the excellence of your health. Going into your middle years and your, you know, more mature years, not having any diseases or health problems, life-threatening conditions, not having to be on any type of various interventive therapies, not having to be in an emergency room, not having to be a part of an accidental occurrence. Sometimes those very blessings are non-materialistic, but they show evidence in the material way. They manifest. So when you bless God and bless his people, those blessings are going to multiply. Don't ever not think that you're not going to be repaid. But God decides the level of your repayment. Amen? Amen. Now, I've got to answer this question because I was asked, and I'm going to be wise, and, you know, I'm not so heavenly bound that I cannot relate to earthly affairs. You know, Apostle Paul said these words, first natural, then spiritual. So I can speak on the natural level. I converse every day. People come and they some email me, some call me, some text me, and I respond. Don't be so unreachable that people have to think they've got to call and make appointments to you and with you and go through all these hurdles. Because listen, when we were trudging along before God picked us up and elevated us, a lot of us was ravaging and scurrying along the path too. And God sent us a special person into our lives. And I never forget the prophet. Oh, I can never forget this. call me old-fashioned if you will, but it was over 30 years ago. I remember the prophet came to me and spoke a life-changing word to me. And you know what that word was? Get out now. I know many of you thinking about that movie where the young man was with this young lady and her parents were psychotic and idiotic, and they were doing these strange experiments and these behavioral modification techniques and therapies. No, I'm not talking about that. This man spoke the word to me. He used the prophet Jonah as an example about how God sent Jonah to the land of Nineveh. And, you know, Jonah got about his way. He was determined he was going to go the other way. So God had to slow him down and show him that he wasn't in charge of his destiny. What happened? God allowed a fish. Some say it was a whale, but according to Scripture, it says fish. You know, only God can do the supernatural now. Swallowed him up. And when Jonah was in the belly of that fish, Jonah became restless. He became fearful. And he said, you know, I should have went. You know, his mind was chasing back and forth. You know, we had those woe is me moments where we have the regrets of what we could have did, should have did, didn't do. Now look at me now. So he was saying to the Lord, and he repented. When he repented, God heard him. He said, you know, hey, I'm going to Nineveh, and I'm going to deliver that message. When he was sincere, and God realized that this was a teachable moment, that he ascribed a level of promotion to this fellow, God allowed the fish to furl him out of his front. And as a result, Jonah took a three-day journey and made it in one day. We've all been there. Come on now. We've had that Jonah experience. And he was saying, it's time for you to leave. He ministered to me personally. And God bless Elder Harding. Wherever he is, he spoke the word. And I tell you, that changed my life, because I was in a shipwrecking condition, and I didn't even understand where I was, what I need to do. But God delivered me through that word. So don't you ever turn your back on the prophet and the prophets, the true prophets. And he's a true prophet. And that I know. Evidence. And when God opened up my eyes to the prophetical ministry that he had given me, that I had been so oblique, I had been so religiously programmed, I was going over it. It would be times that he would deal with me and use me in a service where I actually did prophesy to people through the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do it on my own. When I let go, he took over. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God knows and allows the Holy Spirit to tell you, now it's time for you to receive and sit down. Yes, he does. But here it is. I said all that to say this. I was asked a question, and here it is. We're going to just pray. You know, the scripture tells us, you know, judge not. Jesus said this. Now, when he said it, it's in ink and red. You can't dispute this. Okay? Some things you may want to discuss and get further in-depth conversation going, but when those red letters are highlighted in scripture, it is evident and apparent. You cannot, it's not up for discussion. It's already settled. Jesus told us to judge not, that we be not judged. But whatever judgment we judge, it should be judged unto us again. Whatever measure we meet shall be meet unto us again. And that means, not M-E-A-T, it's M-E-T-E. It's going to be meet unto us again. So here it is. It's regarding secular music and an artist that we all know about. And we're not even going to call her name, except we call her name in prayer and that God would deliver her. How did I feel about those who are professing to be believers to go and to participate with the evident messages that are not very Christian-like at all? This is my statement of cause. And I said I would address this very openly. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Follow with your own discretion. The Spirit of God does not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. What are you saying? What I'm saying is this. Secular music is something that we definitely need to have some internal discussion on, and we're going to have a couple of other individuals to come on and speak as well. Some secular music is good. A lot of our songs that we're singing. Oh, you don't want to hear this. Oh, no, no, no. You can't tell me that. I don't care what he said. I don't care what you said. Let's go to the truth. A lot of the songs that we sing are reflective of secular music songs. There is nothing wrong with secular music when it is modest and is moderate and is not prepositioning a negative behavior or path. It's nothing wrong. Music can, as the old facade says, soothe the savage beast. There's a calming effect in music. There's a message in music. Sometimes that message is clarative. Sometimes it's not clarative. Sometimes it's melodic. But there is healing properties in music. And it produces rhythm. Sometimes it produces rhyme, produces melody, and all these things. It's fine. Instrumental, I'm more so on my relaxation time. I like to listen to instrumentals. When I listen to some of this stuff that people are saying, oh, this is Christian, New Age Christian, I turn it off because I can't even distinguish the difference between that and the secular setting. No. It's about how your walk and your profession is. I don't condemn any artist. And I don't condone at the same time. I just know what's not fit for me. Just because you wear a size 7.5 shoe and I wear a size 10, I can't put on your size 7 and be comfortable in your 7.5 because it will not accommodate my size and my, you know, my pedal specifications. So therefore, I won't wear them. I will wear my size shoe and the style of shoe in which I wear. And if meat offends my brother, I eat no more meat as long as my brother is in the world. That means that if certain things offend another individual and they're in circumference with me, I won't do those things around them because I don't want to cause friction. See, God is not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace in the church of his saints. And we're the church. Oh, no, my church. No, 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 no. Why did the scripture tell us to consecrate ourselves? That, you know, that our bodies are the temple. Apostle Paul said, your body is your temple. And he that defileth the temple of God, that's the church, shall be destroyed or eliminated or deducted. We're the church. So, therefore, we have to mind what we listen to. Because what we listen to can influence our behavior. It can influence the environment and the frequencies around us. See, music is based upon not only sound and tone and pitch, it's frequency as well. And so there's nothing wrong with listening to secular music when it has a positive message to it. Even some of the songs have positive lyrics to it. It's nothing wrong with that. But when you get into these types of songs that are combating what is good, telling you to hurt somebody, telling you to get revenge and do something to somebody, songs that are denouncing God and denouncing believers and elevating negative responses, no. That becomes like a garbage dump. Get rid of it. And if you're supporting a person that's doing that, you need to pray and ask God for deliverance. We're not going to blame them. We're not looking at them. We're looking at you. You're the professor here. You're professing Christianity. You're professing that you know that you're a child of God. See, all of God's children, but some of the children left home. You get me? Some of the children left home and did not return. Now, I don't care how evil and malevolent people are, we're all God's children. Say with me, all of God's children. We all were spirit children. But some of the children misbehaved so inappropriately. They strayed away from home. And as a result, that's why they're off into all these behaviors. Can God reclaim the deck? Yes. No man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. There are some people that are so extreme to the point they feel no need and no necessity. That's why they haven't come back to the fold. But when you're in the fold, You need to own up to your responsibility. Not trying to be holier than thou, show out. Yeah, we're to have a good life. We're to look good. We're to dress good, smell good, behave good, live good, all those things. But one difference about us is that we know who gave us these privileges and entitlements. It is God, through the mercy of Jesus Christ, that we have these things. That's the difference between us and the world. Oh, no, God is raising up multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires, and I pray the good master that I'm one of them so I can help other people, and that you want so we can help this kingdom work to go through. There's missionaries that are out and about in the world that are teaching the scripture. They need to be sustained. They have materialistic needs. We need to sustain them, okay? Our ministry is here building the foundation to correct the leadership. That's our calling here. And we're going to do what we're supposed to do to get what we need to get done. But that's my answer. You know, use your discretion, follow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never lead you into foreign or strange or hostile territory. But if an artist or performer is promoting negativity, ungodliness, wickedness, idolatry, adultery, and impurities, abstain from that artist. I don't care who they are. And they're your favorite cousin, and they said they're going to give you $5 million to bring some people to their concert. No. Because we have to present ourselves faultless. We have to cleanse ourselves from the influence of the world. Don't forget, we are a peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. We are a royal priesthood. We're of the royal kingdom, that we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So no, if that artist is projecting that image, refrain from them. Pray for them and refrain from them. That's the best that you can do. Oh, let me tell you, we are on our way to spring revival. And you know, revival time is a time of revitalization, rejuvenation, where you're taking those old heavyweight clothes from the winter and you're packing them in the bags and putting them in crates. Oh, it's such a relevant feeling. I know some of you are saying spring is coming, and some of you have been sneezing a lot and having runny noses. That's evidence that the spring is coming, the turning of the seasons. Well, you know something? When there's a turn of the seasons, there's an awakening. There's an actual new level that you're existing on, and you don't have to wear the inconvenience of the winter weight clothing any longer. And things change. And something else about the spring coming. You're not wearing those heavy coats that can camouflage all of what you've been eating during the winter. That's another thing. Spring is a twofold season. It can bring about the beauty of life, the flowers and the trees budding, the birds are up early in the morning singing. You know, morning comes quicker, the sun shines brighter, the weather is getting warmer. You know, the dew on the grass as opposed to the ice on the grass. You know, you feel this new charge within you to turn, to change over. That's spring. And so meanwhile, you have to face the downside. What about the weight that you put on during the winter? It's time to get rid of it. I know many people are in desperation, modus operandi, saying, well, Lent is coming and I'm going to give up eating meat. I'm going to give up eating bread. I'm going to give up eating desserts, and I'm going to give up my coffee and my cream. Those things are fine. Those things are fine. But you know something? People think that God is glorified by what you give up. No, you're doing yourself a favor. You're lightening the load of weight gain. You're helping to, you know, to lower your blood pressure, your A1C levels if you are a person with, you know, glucose intolerance issues. You're doing yourself a favor. But here it is. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews. And here it is. It's a very interesting passage. I know you know this scripture. There's two corresponding scriptures actually go hand in hand about laying aside every weight and the sin. And the 11th chapter defines what is faith, right? What faith is the substance of things hoped for, the other things not seen. So it's not an uncommon passage of scripture. But sometimes things that are these as common need to be addressed, especially relevant to the season, because we're still in the season of reaping the bountiful harvest and prosperity. We're here to see the evidences of all the seeds that we planted in the fall that got frozen in the underground. And some of you, if you live in more Arctic circumferences in the tundra, you know, when the springtime comes, it starts to melt the ice. You can see the evidences of things that you didn't see before. You can see the relevance of your hard work and your labor, why you did what you did, because you wanted to produce, and you begin to see that. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a privileged opportunity, and a privilege that we should not take lightly at all. We're going to go here very quickly. And know this, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And there are so many words that proceed from God's mouth until we can't even keep up with them. You know, sometimes we get so tied up into the world and we perceive ourselves to just be overwhelmed. You know, see, that's the power of the enemy's influence, that he does this to us as a way of countermeasuring what God has placed before us. And we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves to be able to discern that, so that we can stay on the right track and don't veer away from where our goal is and what God has planned for us, okay? So if you're getting your scripture, I'm going to give you a moment and just thank you for tuning in today, because out of all the things that you could have done, you didn't have to tune in here, but you apparently wanted to get some information that would help to motivate you to the next level. You can be motivated all you want, but if you don't take advantage of the opportunity to benefit from it, it does you little or no good. Like the scripture tells us, you know, that bodily exercise does very little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, 12 chapters of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to pick back up on next week. Here it is, Apostle Paul is speaking. While the second apostle in charge, this man has such a level of experience and content and intent that so many people didn't understand whether or not he was actually following the commandment of God, or was he trying to get those believers out in the open so he could identify them and persecute them. But no, this man was a changed man. On that road to Damascus, his experience, God took him and made a new man. He no longer was Saul of Tarsus. He became Apostle Paul, the second chief apostle in charge. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, what's Apostle Paul saying? Seeing that we've seen so many prophets, teachers, believers, practitioners, all these people, our forefathers, that have went forth in faith in God, didn't have the external support that they needed. Oftentimes didn't even have the provision that was needed. But because they trusted in God and in God alone, those are our cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses is a great degree of witnesses. You're not talking about one, two, or three people. You're talking about an extensive amount of people that have been tried, tested, and proved that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin. What is the weight? A weight is something that burdens you down, whether it burdens you down in the emotional sense of your existence, the psychological sense of your existence, the socialistic stance of your existence, or the physical aspects of your existence. Weights are not good when they are holding you captive. And even to those who are sprint runners, they have to maintain a certain level of endurance and velocity as they run. If they weigh too much or they've eaten too much, or they weigh too much, it's going to impinge upon their ability to perform beyond their level of expectation. They're going to be hindered. They still can run. Don't get it wrong. They still can run, but they won't be as dutiful or as opulent as they would have been had they not been overweight. And if you keep weight for too long, in comes sin. What is sin? Infractions against the commandments of God. And the first thing we think about is physical sin. We think about adultery and fornication. No, those are not the only two sins. You know, covetousness, jealousy, wrath, gluttony, greed, stealing. Those are sins as well. But see, the difference is that you can commit those sins, but those sins do have repercussions, but the repercussions are not as nearly as extensive as to when a person commits sin with their body. They have violated their passageway. They have violated what was given to them that should be honored. And as a result, they become scarred or sordid. Now, the other things are internalized because a person just feels guilt and feels bad, and those things can quickly be reversed with little or no consequences as it relates to that person's body. But in some societies, let's say this, that if a person is caught stealing something, they can do something as inadvertent and cut off a finger or imprison that person. We're not saying that there's one sin bigger than the other, but some sins leave more scars than others. And when you allow weight to bear you down, you can easily commit sin. Because what happens? Think about that Olympic runner. That Olympic runner, if he becomes too heavy, number one, he's not going to make it to the next level. He's not going to get to the finals. He's not going to be selected. He's not going to win a medal. So there is his self-esteem denigrated. He, as an athlete, feels as a failure, and he begins to condescend. Okay? What can happen from there? Actually, what can happen, that person gives up and goes in an adverse manner and objecting to behaviors that are not positive, nor positive, nor productive. So they can get off into acting out because they feel as though they failed. The same is replicant. As believers, we cannot get weighed down. We need to go on a diet. I'm not talking about just fasting. Sometimes you need to fast to overcome things physically. I'm talking about going on a diet, releasing those weights, that extra weight we're carrying around. Because it's not going to do you any good. I know a woman who told me once, she said, I can tell when I put on weight. She said, because you know something, my back starts feeling heavy and my feet start hurting. She said, but the moment that I lose the weight, my back stops hurting and my feet don't bother me. That's the evidence. See, you have to stop a weight before it turns into a sin. You have to search yourself. You have to look at yourself. How do we know we gain weight? Yeah, clothes fit tighter. Yeah. We don't feel as confident about the way we look. Uh-huh. Physical appearance, because you know sometimes we're vain. We don't like to feel some kind of way or look some kind of way. So when you put on weight, you're being held down by unforgiveness. How many of you are holding the weight of unforgiveness? You know, you're unforgiving because someone did you wrong and they walked about and walked away from you like they didn't think they did anything wrong. And then you feel like, hey, they weren't, even though I was ashamed about how they treated me, knowing I had been good to them, let it go. Lose that weight. Let it go. Because God told us vengeance is his, and he will repay. And he also told us, blessed are you when men shall revile you and accuse you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He says, so is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, he said, they persecuted the prophets before you. Are you walking in the likeness of what is right? Well, you're going to be misunderstood sometimes and rejected, denied, and deprived of what you know you should have had. But if you let go and let God, he said he will make our enemies our footstool. He will allow them to be the very boaster that elevates us to that next level. And you know something? And when they are casted down, others will look at us and say, you know what? There is lifting up. So that weight needs to go. Okay, here is another weight. Not only is unforgiveness a deadly weight, what about the weight of vanity, of pride? So many individuals are so prideful and deem themselves great. It's all about them. They have what we call narcissistic traits or characteristics. Everything has to be about the way they look, the way that they're accepted, the way that people look at them, the way that they feel about themselves and the environment. Are they being cherished? Are they the center of attention? Those are narcissistic tendencies. And you know, the scripture tells us, God told us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. That God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. That's right. And that means that humble means meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But see, the proud think they reserve the right and the privilege to be the dictators on the earth. That's the difference. And if this is what's holding you down, making you weigh so much, and make you feel excessive and obsessive, you need to get rid of it because it will steer you in the wrong path of your journey. You will end up in a place where you are destitute in spirit and in life and in mind and in presence, and you will find yourself limited by God, because God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You need to lose that weight of pridefulness, because that is a dangerous and deadly sin. A deadly sin. If you don't get rid of it, you'll commit the unthinkable and perceive that no one should address you about it. So you have to be mindful. And this is springtime. It's coming up. We've got to remove these weights from us so that when we present ourselves without those heavy, unforeboding garments that we wear externally, and people see us, when we peel that off, they'll say, wow, you really took good care of yourself because we shedded that extra weight. Well, listen, it's been a wonderful time with you in fellowship. We're going to come back to you again next Sunday with the manner of speaking. And know this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we know that God watches over his word to perform it. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. We'll see you next week. This is your teacher, your instructor, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani Saints. And all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have a miracle-filled motivational week, and we'll see you again real soon. Oh, yeah.